You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo Podcast,
we talk about scary games!
Or games based on Halloween. Or just creepy games. Pretty much anything, really. You know, it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone! Oh, wow, this is spooky. I think everyone's dead.
What?
Oh, I hear... Wait.
Yeah. Hi, Vink. Happy Halloween.
I hear more How's than Sean's laughter.
Oh!
Oh! Hey, David. Are you at Sean's house?
I am not. I thought about
it. Who are these people?
Well, hi, it's Syndra.
Hi!
Hi, Syndra.
Syndra?
Been a while.
Long time no see.
I have wise from my wave.
Oh, God.
Very nice.
I like that. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. So Halloween, I don't know. It's not really celebrated too much here in Japan. So have to have my own little celebration every year. And one thing I like to do is play some scary games or some Halloween-themed games. How about the rest of you?
Oh, yeah.
Right on. I'm right in the middle of one right now, actually.
What's that?
Not during the podcast, but earlier.
Oh, so I should stop playing Smash Brothers right now, then?
Would you please?
Okay.
If David starts screaming during the podcast, there was a jump scare in his game. which, if there's a jump scare in his game and he starts screaming, will be a jump scare in this podcast. So, for you, the listener.
Right. Does contagious. He scream when he plays games, though? I don't know.
Oh, good Lord. Do I? Yes. Anyways, to answer your question, let's see. I've been playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night lately. I love this game.
On which platform?
I've been playing it on my Vita. It was on sale the other week on PlayStation Network, and I figured, $5. I might as well add it to the Vita.
Oh, that's a nice one. Have you played Have you played the Saturn version?
I have. Yes.
Yeah,
I own the Saturn version.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? I like the additions they put into the game, right. Although some of it was a little, the port job was not perfect, but yeah.
Yeah, there was a little bit of slowdown, unfortunately, but the new areas are cool enough, the new music and stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it. In fact, I have not, I've never beat it on the PlayStation.
Really?
I had it and I played it enough, but
yeah.
The only one I own it for right now is the Saturn. So
nice.
Yeah.
So you get to play as Maria and kick ass all over the place.
Indeed. Oh, what a great game. What a great game.
She's
well, good night, folks. We're all going to go play Castlevania now.
Honestly.
No problem with that.
Super Castlevania 4 is the one you want to play this season, I think, the Halloween season. That was the one with the most atmosphere.
Oh, I do love that game, too.
I didn't used to have an appreciation for Super Castlevania 4 like I did with other Castlevania games. Mm-hmm. I have definitely grown into it, and it is now my number 2, just for the music, atmosphere. Yeah.
Sean liked that.
Where does Rondo of Blood come in there?
Rondo of Blood, let's see, probably number 4, number 5? My number 1 is Bloodlines.
Oh, really? Bloodlines?
Interesting choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, granted, I grew up with the Sega, so there is that. But also the fact that you could start as you could play as one of two characters right off the bat. Both had different types of gameplay. The music was the first appearance of Michiru Yamane. Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was the bloodiest Castlevania game.
Oh, you're right.
if you noticed, the hanging corpses in Dracula's castle and all of that. Yeah, they had to censor it in Europe.
Yeah, which seems strange now that Europe censors things. But yeah, I suppose violence. I suppose violence, yeah.
So yeah, that was number one. Super Castlevania 2 is number two. Belmont's Revenge is number three. Rondo is either number four or number five. I can't at any given day.
Castlevania is a good game to play at any season, but yeah, Halloween would be great. But actually, a platformer I'd like to play at Halloween, Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh yeah.
Oh hey, because I haven't.
Nothing's like more Halloween than that. I mean, it's you're going through cemeteries and just yeah, everything is dead in that game, including me when I play it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, what's your favorite Ghouls and Ghosts then?
Probably this Dai Makemura for super graphics. There, I'm going to choose.
Oh wow,
wow.
I think just because it was such a hard one to get, and I mean it. I don't know. It's just Super Ghouls and Ghosts was fantastic as well, though. I mean, really,
Super is my favorite. Yeah,
I mean they're all good, but except the well, it's not a terrible game for the Wonder Swan, but the Wonder Swan version doesn't do it justice.
What did the Wonder Swan do anything justice for?
Choaniki RPGs. That is where they're the Choaniki RPG lives and dies.
They're scary right there.
I didn't even know that existed. Now I'm going to have to hunt that down.
It's a little more on the pricey side, and I can't imagine why, but yeah. Yes, it's if you want to know if you want to know a lot more about the backstory of those characters. Anyway,
do I?
Well, okay. Well, let's stick with platformers then okay. Right now, because we've already covered two of the obvious ones. Anyone else? Horror platformers.
Does Metroid count?
It scares me, but
it's creepy. I'm not so sure it's horror, but I do love the Super Metroid.
Oh, but I get. I mean, that sense of isolation and everything.
Right.
I mean, if you're going with the idea that, you know, it's creepy in the sense that, like, the original Alien, what movie was creepy scary, then...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, sure, that's a horror film.
Oh, that's definitely a horror film.
The original Alien movie is one of the scariest movies I've ever watched.
Love that movie. Yeah.
I actually, I'd like to eventually get my hands on Alien Isolation and see how that goes.
Yeah. I'd watched Aliens a few times because, you know, that's the one everyone watches because that's the famous, you know, big action one, James Cameron. And I'm like, wow, that was great. I wonder what the original Alien is like. And I watched it. And I'm like, this is really, really scary.
Because
all the ones after it are more action movies than they are horror movies. Or except for, what is it, Alien Resurrection, which is...
We don't know. No.
City of Lost Children meets...
We're moving on.
Yeah. That's scary for all different characters.
Okay.
Moving on.
Splatterhouse?
Yes. I actually, as I was saying in the pre-show here, I recently just actually acquired Splatterhouse 2 for the Sega Genesis.
Nice. Very nice.
But the Splatterhouse series I've always had a really deep appreciation for because it just... It held no punches. It pulled no punches, I should say. It was just like everything fell apart into a bloody mess upon the punches and the the slashes and the kicks and good God. Now Splatterhouse was. I remember when I was a kid when I first like encountered like gameplay of it.
Yeah.
I think a friend had it for the TurboGrafx or something like that. Yeah. That one like offhand friend who had a really obscure console and you're like, I need to watch this.
Everybody knows one person like that.
Knows that one person. And I was just watching this.
The neighbors, it was me.
I'm like, is this Evil Dead? And it considering how much was like taken from the Evil Dead movies out of it, I'm like, this is fantastic.
Splatterhouse is more like Evil Dead than any of the Evil Dead games were.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, definitely. The first game was just creepy atmosphere. The music was creepy. I mean, you take a look at the backgrounds, everything is just like dilapidated and gross and fantastic. And the bosses are just weird, friggin' all over the place. It was a good game. Yeah. And then the sequel came out for it, and I'm like, oh, this I can actually play. And I remember renting it once. My mom was not happy with me.
Is the Splatterhouse series one of the first like popular series that had like the kind of anti-hero protagonist? You know, I mean, yeah, his motivations, he's getting revenge, but you know, he looks like Jason. You know.
I don't know if he was like one of the first, but he was definitely one of the more iconic. Because yeah, they were borrowing from the Jason, you know, Jason vs. Evil Dead, pretty much was what it was, with a little bit of, you know, save the princess, except the princess can turn into like monstrous mutant that's trying to skewer you type of thing.
Oh man, I want to play Splatterhouse
again. Me too. It's been ages.
It's a good series. I loved the original games. And actually I liked the modern reimagining, the one for the next gen consoles. I did not think was bad. It got a lot of it got more negative reviews than I think it was due. And unfortunately Namco Bandai decided to pull the plug on it a lot sooner than they really should have. So we'll never get a sequel, but I mean it remains an infamy, and it definitely remains. I mean, it was one of those games that was the reason the ESRB came out. when parents saw, oh dear God, how graphic this was, they're like, we need a rating system. Otherwise, we want you to pull these off the shelves because there's no
Splatterhouse.
Asshole.
But I mean, what parent needs a rating to know that Splatterhouse isn't okay for little Timmy? I mean, really?
Do you really have to ask that question?
It's called Splatterhouse.
The same
but video games are babysitting tool, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know that. I know that more than anybody. But
yeah, so that'll be something I definitely go through. Not that I have it during this Halloween October season, along with the Castlevania games that I have been determined to rebeat this month.
Nice. I mean, we'll get into survival horror definitely later. I think that's a bigger topic, but just Halloween-y games in Halloween-y, that's strange. Anyway, games in general. I am a big fan of replaying through the series, the ones that are available on consoles at least, of The House of the Dead.
Oh, House of the Dead. Yeah.
I got for Saturn, and I've got the, I had for you know, two for Dreamcast and three for Xbox, but now with my HD TV, I'm using the one that they re-released for Wii, the House of the Dead 1 and 2 compilation.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and I don't know. I enjoy House of the Dead Overkill, but I don't know. It doesn't have the atmosphere of the original.
It was an offshoot. It was like a spinoff, but it didn't feel like real House of the Dead.
Did it lose the camp?
No, it's more camp, but it was definitely more different. It's a Western team doing it.
Okay.
But my favorite of the series, though, unfortunately, is the one I can't play, House of the Dead 4. And I mean, I'm in Japan, so they have those amazing arcade units with the molded skulls right into it. And
I've seen those.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I love that game, and I have no idea why it never got released for anything. I mean, I think it was a Lindbergh-based game, so it could have been ported to the 360 fairly easily. I guess there's just no market for it.
Why was Castlevania the arcade never ported to any of the consoles? I don't know.
Ooh, hey.
I want to play that. But House of the Dead was something I played almost exclusively in arcades, one and two. It was my it was my go-to whenever I went to any of the local arcades, like in the malls or anything, and I knew they had House of the Dead. I'm like, okay, I need at least $2 worth of quarters just for me. Yeah. And if I didn't have somebody with me, I'm like, screw it. I pumped them into both sides, and I went dual gunning.
Oh, nice. Man, that's nice. So fun. That is so fun.
I've never done that.
I've never done it at the arcade, but that's how I always played it on Saturn.
Yeah. I gave myself, I think, tendonitis in my elbow once doing that.
Worth it?
Yep.
Okay.
Any
I didn't beat it, but I got damn far. And it looked awesome doing it.
Has anyone else played getting back to Splatterhouse real quick. Has anyone else played Splatterhouse Wampaku Graffiti?
Only once.
It's, you know, chibi, no. Chibi Splatterhouse.
It's adorable.
It's good. It's really not a Splatterhouse game so much, but it's really fun at what it is. You know, it's much longer than any of the Splatterhouse games, actually. It's quite
really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. I mean, the art style is, you know, simplified to deal with Famicom graphics, of course. And
yeah, I've seen screenshots of it.
I'm going to do a very quick future retro, and I'm recommending that to all of you. Play that game. It's really unfortunate that one never came out in the States, but it's easy enough to figure out without the language skill. So
sure.
And if you do have the language skill, it's got a pretty cool story as well.
It's the same. I put that in the same category as Akumajo Special Boku Draculacon, which is the Famicom version of Kid Dracula that came out in the States for just the Game Boy, but Boku Draculacon came out for Famicom. And
really good music.
Fantastic.
Music. Yes, that soundtrack is fantastic.
So, yeah, both of those games are awesome.
Did you know that if you put a Rondo of Blood disc in a system that doesn't have CD, super CD software support, it has a message that comes up in like from Boku Dracula-kun, like in a chibi style, something. Oh, okay, everybody knew that.
Yep.
Except Sean.
I didn't know.
Sean.
Damn it, Sean.
Let's just call this episode Damn It, Sean, because I have not played most of these games.
Okay, Sean, then it's your turn. Bring up a game you have played.
Share with us.
Do I go right for the gold right away? I might as well.
Go for it.
I really loved Eternal Darkness.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I played through that 3 times so I could get the ultimate ending.
That
wonderful game. Oh, my God.
That game. Whenever you got to what was it, kind of the end of the level, and there was that like hall that was made up of like screaming spirits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It wasn't really scary, but it was so creepy and weird and cool.
I don't know, whispering around the house and stuff like that really creeped me out.
It was. I basically, whenever anybody asked me to describe Eternal Darkness, my word of choice is mine.
Right, yeah, because had that sanity system that was, I guess, patented.
And I think if you ever, you know, kept your sanity at a good level, you were playing it wrong because you missed so many great moments.
Right. Yep.
Oh yeah.
the blue screen of death. Insert disc 2 got me.
Corrupt memory card.
Yeah.
It was one of the first ones that hit me, and I didn't even know that was a thing in the game. and I'm like, because I bought it used, and I'm like, they screwed me over. There's only one disc in here.
Yeah, a lot of those are aimed at the gamer, but some of them were aimed at your character. But the ones that I think were most effective were like, you know, like flies on the, or was it cockroaches?
Yeah, the ones that really broke the fourth wall.
Those were a lot of fun. But I also enjoyed like the forced perspective that they gave you, because normally these games have like, you know, a camera stick and you can move things around. But this one relied on the camera was along this track, and then things like a torch will flicker and pop like right on the edge of the screen as you go by it, and it's just like, ah, you things. Like it's bad enough to like fight some of these monsters, especially if you pick the red relic thing, because they're tough as hell to beat. But no pun intended. But yeah, that whole thing was just creepy all over and stylish and awesome, and I love it so much.
Was that actually a launch title? It wasn't a launch title, but it was
first generation.
Launch, right?
Yeah,
it was early.
And didn't it actually tank? But like, it's now a classic.
It did not do well.
No.
Because I remember it was only about a year after it was released, and I picked it up for like $11.
Yeah,
so.
Same. Ouch. Same.
I think it did well. It just didn't sell very well. I think it got like decent.
Okay, good reviews.
Oh yeah, it got extremely good reviews. People love it.
But you know, the traditional Nintendo gamer, which is why Bayonetta by the time this podcast goes out, what Bayonetta's released, right? Or no, is it November?
Yes. It's out in Japan here already.
It's out in Japan already. Yeah. But
right.
I'm not
sure what the release date is in America.
I don't know. But by the time you're listening to this podcast, it will have either tanked or is about to tank.
Pretty much.
That's the sad situation. I've been playing the demo over and over. It's amazing. It tanked really hard here
in Japan already, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
no.
I mean, it depends what you consider tanked hard. I mean, compared to expectations, not really, but the expectations were pretty low.
Ouch.
Like, it sold through, like, you know, 70% of what it shipped, but it hasn't sold yet as much as the Xbox 360 version sold, wait for it, in Japan.
Oh!
Yes.
So, but in its first week, it beat out lifetime sales of Wonderful 101, which is also a great game.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. Wonderful 101 didn't even crack the fourth digit in its release.
Oh, that's sad.
Despite it being probably one of my favorite games of the gen.
Yeah, that's a good game.
It's a great game. So, but luckily, sales don't mean much compared to my enjoyment of the game, other than not being able to get a sequel, which annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bayonetta. Bayonetta's a good Halloween game, I think.
No, it's
she's
not.
She's a witch.
Counts. Yeah, she's a witch. Yeah.
I guess.
That is Bayonetta, not it, now.
Bayonetta 2 takes place in hell.
if we're counting Bayonetta, we have to count, like, Dark Souls and all that.
Oh, God. No, we already have too many. Like most of the titles we've talked about at the top of the show here weren't even on our list.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Okay. Okay,
I'm throwing Lone Survivor in there too, you know. Let me just throw a bunch of names out there that I think are survival horror and just
all
just
right. All right. I'm gonna retract Bayonetta. Bayonetta, come back. You're not in this podcast. Go over there and tank in sales.
Ouch.
Oh.
Well, I know if we don't talk about it, it's just gonna bomb, right? We need to do it.
I'm gonna
go
buy
out
it.
And buy Bayonetta too, everybody.
Its own time, not on ours. Jeez.
Reviews have been positive. Go buy it.
Okay.
There's a demo. No. Download it.
Yes, do that too. And then go buy it anyways.
Yes.
So are we moving on to survival horror? Are we still sticking with just like creepy games?
Do we have any more good creepy games?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yes.
I like how every game being mentioned is not on our list. Okay, yes. Great game.
Diablo?
Fantastic. So much fun co-op too. Love it.
Diablo, anybody? Anybody?
Diablo, yeah.
I played a lot of Diablo 2 on the PC.
Everybody played a lot of Diablo 2 on the PC. What was that?
Diablo is what you played, yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's see, what else?
Monster Party, but that's a podcast in itself. Maybe we should...
Oh, it really is.
Let's save that for later on.
Or if we need filler later... in this, but
I don't think that's
going
to happen.
No.
It's going to be so much else.
All right, so I guess let's move on to 3D, I guess. And I was going to say let's start where it all began, Resident Evil, but I think we got to go back a little farther than that. Cinder, you want to take this
one? Yeah, we do, because Resident Evil did not start the whole shebang. That title is held to Sweet Home for the Famicom in 1989. which I don't know how many people have actually played it. I've only played a little bit of it. I have to actually, that's another one I want to sit down and go the whole way through this Halloween season before the end of the month. But
Was Sweet Home was Capcom, right?
Yep, Sweet Home was
Capcom. It was Capcom, so that's why there was no like copyright infringement claims when. Okay, makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Was that also Shinji Mikami?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay, he just took,
because in interviews he said he was inspired by it. So
okay,
if he was claiming that he was inspired by himself, that's a bit egotistical.
Couldn't put it past him.
I was inspired by my previous game. Although when asked what his favorite horror game of all time was, when Suda Goichi was he said Shadows of the Damned, which is the game he directed.
Yes,
Or at least signed his name to. Yeah.
Good job. So. But Sweet Home was Japanese.
Top down.
RPG, which was, I mean, you think about it, a survival horror RPG type of deal in, like, Final Fantasy type of, you know, situation. Kind of an interesting thing to think back on, like, in today's age. But, it was a creepy game. I mean, you had to deal with, like, you were in a party, there's several characters, you were all in a mansion, like this haunted mansion with monsters and zombies, and things are like, you're encountering monsters that are dissolving in front of you, and just trying to solve puzzles, and I mean, it's very obvious why the Resident Evil series was taking a lot of cues from this game, because it did a lot of things. It was the first game to do a lot of these things that we now take as commonplace in survival. Yeah. And the music was creepy as hell. For a Famicom game that, you know, I always thought, you know, some Castlevania tunes were always creepy as hell, like Dracula's Curse and whatnot, Akumajo Densetsu, but it was a great game, and it definitely needs to be given its own spotlight as the granddaddy.
Okay, there's your future retro then. There we go.
yes. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. Right. And, you know, not only did it inspire, you know, like Resident Evil, you know, Silent Hill took some cues from it too.
Favorite Resident Evil game?
Two.
Oh, don't make me choose.
No, I take that back. Mm. It's a toss-up between 2 and Remake.
I'm going with Remake. Beautiful.
So I've actually played the
remake.
I'm
going to go with 2.
Oh, Sean played something. Let's listen to
you.
Tell us, Sean.
Regale us with your tales of playing video games, Sean.
Did you have your brown pants on?
Oh, see, I was such a Nintendo fanboy. I didn't own a PlayStation. I didn't have a chance to play Resident Evil games. So when, you know, there was a remake.
No, that's good. That's good. You got like the best one.
That was me. That was me too. My friends went on and on about Resident Evil, but I think the first one I played was when Resident Evil 2 came to the Nintendo 64.
Oh yeah, there's that whole thing too.
Well, I have a dirty secret to admit. That was the Resident Evil I played as well. I didn't have a PlayStation we inherited my cousin's Nintendo 64, and that was the only way we could play it. So it's like, you know what? You either don't play it or you play the Nintendo 64 version.
You know what?
Like, well, at least you played it.
Yeah.
Other than the video being a little grainy, though, that was a pretty good port.
That's
not a bad port.
The fact that they got 2 CDs onto 1 cartridge is actually pretty mind-boggling to this day.
Really impressive, yeah.
I mean, obviously, looking back on it, you know, comparing it to the PlayStation version and, you know, future titles, yeah, does it look a little not up to snuff? Sure, but at the time, I was happy. I was still when, you know, Mr. X burst out of the wall, you were still like shrieking in terror, so it did its job perfectly fine.
Speaking of things bursting through walls or windows or whatever, I think everybody remembers the first moment in the mansion in the original game with the dogs. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Forever.
When you're like, hey, this is kind of cool. There's a neat atmosphere going on. Ah, dog!
And then they did that again in Resident Evil Code Veronica with a Bandersnatch, just bursting through the window. Yep. And then technically they kind of did the same thing with Resident Evil 2 with the liquor. And you were foreshadowed about that, because as you were going into that, you were about to go into that hallway, the liquor crawled across the window, and all of a sudden you freeze, and you're like, oh, crap. Nope. Nope. Nope.
Why?
Nope. Nope.
Why did I forget Code Veronica existed? Because it's not a game one should forget about. It was a very valid entry to the series, I think.
A lot of people get a lot of...
That one.
What was that?
Everyone with the Dreamcast owns that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, you had to. I mean,
a lot of people give it a lot of crap. I didn't ever think it was a bad game. Sure, if you put it up against like 2 and like Remake, of course it's not going to come up.
But if you put it up against 5, can we just have Code Veronica be Resident Evil 5 and pretend that 5 didn't exist?
Yes, it is done.
Okay, actually, that's from now on.
I will take no. I can't agree with that. I have to substitute. I'd have to say if we're going to substitute Code Veronica in for anything, it should be 6.
Dude, if we're getting rid of 6, I'm willing to take. I'm willing to take Darkside Chronicles or Umbrella City or Raccoon City something. I'm not a fan.
Raccoons. What's the on-rails V1?
You're thinking of the
Umbrella
Chronicles.
Umbrella Chronicles
and Darkside Chronicles, which honestly, I like.
All right. Yeah,
they were super, super fun, it really annoyed me that they were called test games. Like, if Nintendo fans buy these, maybe we'll release a real one. Oh, wow, it sold really great. Let's do another rail shooter.
Well, not only that, and that's the thing. That's kind of what always pissed me off, especially with recent announcements that they're going to re-release Remake, HD, whatever the heck. And it's like, okay, that's great, but how about we get a remake of Resident Evil 2? And unfortunately, I think everybody who loved the series would be like falling over themselves in joy. But the thing of it is, I don't have that much faith that that's ever going to happen. I think the best we're ever going to get is what we saw, the snippet we saw in Darkside Chronicles. Okay. I think that's all we're going to get.
Capcom's such a tease with that game. It's so funny. It's like, we're going to port it to Dreamcast. It's going to be a port of the PC version, which was a port of the PlayStation. You know, it's like...
Are we forgetting about Resident Evil 4 that was on the GameCube and then expanded on PS2 and then re-released with Wii controls?
I would never forget that. That was the best way to play that game. That was the best
and then
way
brought
to
HD on the PS3 and the 360 also.
Yep.
But I mean, like, it's not like they didn't try. I don't know if it wasn't enough for Capcom that they.
But like, I don't know. It was supposed to be a Nintendo exclusive franchise from there, and that lasted all of a month and a half.
And then
they released they put the four on the Wii, and it sold very, very well for a remake. And everyone enjoyed it, and we're like, Capcom, give us more. And they're like, here's a rail shooter. And if you like it, maybe we'll do a full-fledged game on it. But it sold really well, and they're like, we see from our market research you love rail shooters. Here's another one.
You got us, Capcom.
Yeah, they did, the bastards. I will just interject and say I did like Resident Evil Revelations.
Yes, I liked it.
It was what I thought was... If anybody has played the Lost in Nightmare scenario out of Resident Evil 5, I thought that's what Revelations was more geared towards, and I liked it, especially, and it gets flack, but I loved raid mode. Raid mode was
Revelations. Gone. Revelations is still in my pile that I got to get to one of these years.
That's the 3DS one, right?
Yes.
3DS, okay. And it was ported to 360.
Ported to everything. God, yeah. they should give some of these numbers because I'm really getting confused. But
well, but technically I played, they are because yeah. they're coming out with a Revelations 2 now.
They are.
Which I'm excited about.
To everything except Nintendo. That's very interesting. But anyway, but I played that on the 3DS. And I haven't really played the Wii one other than the demo, but I played it on the 3DS in the dark with headphones and recommend it if you want to scare yourself because
now I have to ask you, when you got to the promenade, I think you probably know what I'm talking about and you hear over the loudspeaker, the navigator. Or communication guy. Just about how quickly did you freeze and decide to say nope, nope? Because that's what I was doing.
I mean, I've noped on that game lots of times. So I'm like, let's play Dora the Explorer, for a little while.
For you or your kid?
She's got creepy eyes. Anyway.
No, I think they did a very good job of back to the creepy survival.
It was really good. And what made me so happy was it actually went back to being kind of a survival horror game,
You had to conserve your ammo. I can't tell you how many situations I went into where I ran completely out of ammo and I was killing things with a knife and praying.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. The modern Resident Evil, I just really can't get into Call of Zombie. So I just...
Capcom's pretty much come out and said that, well, we've got this big chunk of our fan base that really likes these action-based, main series, so we're going to keep that. But we have the core group that seems to really like these Revelations side stories, so... That's why we're going to come out with Revelations 2 for them.
Okay.
Okay with that.
Some of them, as long as, I'm okay to be thrown a bone. And there are still some actual, honest-to-goodness survival horror games, but a lot of them are coming from the indie scene.
Yes. Which, like I said, Lone Survivor can be thrown into that genre, which was... that's fine by me. I mean, I'm definitely on board with the Steam and with Steam games and all of that nowadays.
Is this a good time to mention Gone Home?
Yeah, let's mention that.
Yeah.
Has everyone played Gone Home?
No.
I have not.
Well, let's not spoil anything, but
have you finished it?
I haven't yet. Okay. But
I'm the only one who's played this whole game.
But I'm a citizen of the internet, and it's been totally spoiled for me many times over already.
Oh, okay.
But
dodged that bullet so far, thank God.
So, but a lot of people criticize it for being essentially a walking simulator, but the atmosphere is so great for a survival horror type thing. And one of the things I love so much about horror games is the atmosphere and the story and the creepiness and the eeriness and the mystery. So much more than actually, now's the zombie I gotta shoot, or, it just jumped out at me. That stuff's good and all, but sometimes it's done to the point of, I'd like to get back to the atmosphere, but when there's constantly stuff trying to... kill me, but knowing that they're really just fodder anyway, it's just kind of like a nuisance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this game is definitely pure atmosphere, and it starts right away with a stormy night. I mean, and then power going out all over the place, and then work orders for the electricity is just I love it.
it's a really fun little game. Is that? You've already used that for your future retro, so.
Yeah. I mean, I would use it again, were I able. Yeah. But let's not double dip.
Ugh. Yeah.
But it just starts off. You come home. There's no one there. You don't know why everyone's missing. A mystery begins to, because you haven't lived in this house. Your character hasn't, and the mystery begins to swirl.
You were
about
studying abroad, right, or something?
Yeah. I came back from a year long European. study abroad trip, and so your parents and little sister have moved. No one's home. You don't know why. So trying to figure out where your sister is, trying to figure out where your parents are. You uncover clues about the original owner of the house, who died under mysterious circumstances, and find out that your sister was obsessed with this guy. So, it takes some really dark turns.
You feel the tension, but at the same time, as you go into the game, you know nothing's going to jump out of the closet, but...
Maybe a Super Nintendo might jump out at you. Because you can't find one anywhere.
Jump scare.
I got to say, right now, the wind is howling here outside, so it actually is like the dark and stormy night here. I'm sure my power is going to go out soon or something.
Suddenly, we lose Vink. Oh, God.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Who's next?
Me, technically, tomorrow.
I guess.
Tomorrow's typhoon day for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a typhoon going on right now, so... just starting. It's really going to hit strong in about 5 or 6 hours.
I hope they built your house well.
Time to find out. Yeah. But
get your money's worth.
Yeah, exactly. but pure games that are survival horror, and not just action games with zombies. They're a dying breed. They really are. But the one that I've played recently, and I wish more people had played, and I'm sure the company that made it wished more people had played, but have people played Zombie U? No.
Pile of shame right there.
Yeah, same.
What do you mean pile of shame? You're the one who got me to buy it.
Other games came out is what happened. Yeah. Other games came out, and it was one of the few ones I had to play, and I don't really know why I stopped playing it. I got to a very frustrating point where people, for the most part, stopped, but I kept going, and I don't know. I don't know why I'm not playing it anymore.
Well, I mean, I have a very good reason for having it be on my pile of shame.
You can't play it in bed?
Well, that's one. Yes, that's one. anything without off TV play is really hard, and especially a scary game. I can't play on the TV in the living room because I've got young kids. You know,
that did not stop my dad.
Builds
scary
character.
Movies and scary games never stopped my dad, and I turned out fine.
My daughter's scared of Frozen, so.
And I was a scared little kid too. I was scared at everything.
Although my daughter watched in rapt attention as I played Bayonetta today, so.
She'll be fine. She'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but anyway, but I mean, it's not what the family wants to be doing. So I mean, a lot of the time I do a lot of off TV play with games, or you know, with retro games. I've got a CRT in my room, so that's fine. But no, I mean, I've got a much more valid reason. It's really scary. because it's got permadeath for one thing. How is it not sort of?
Because the game keeps going. It's just that the character you're playing as is disposable.
Yeah, and you can run into the character you were currently playing as later as a zombie. And
that's so
steal
cool.
Steal your stuff back.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that nice. Mechanic. Yeah.
But what's really scary is you've got these zombies coming. You have to do all the resource management on the gamepad, so you have to look away from the screen for a little while, and you look back up, and you're like,
horde of zombies, yeah.
And you have, you know, limited ammo, so often you're just taking things out with a cricket bat, and you're trying to switch to get some of your life items, or you're going through and you've got to put in a key combination on like a control panel to get into another room, and you got to use the control pad for that. But meanwhile, there's zombies coming at you from behind you. You know, it's actually very, very, very cool, but it's intense. I have to be in the right mood to even play it.
Here's why this game is like genre breaking though, is because you have like Resident Evil where you're supposed to be like a super person and just happen to survive everything miraculously. In this game, you don't. And then that kind of frees them to like send a horde of zombies after you that you're not supposed to survive.
Yeah.
And it scares the crap out of you. It's like, how am I going to beat this? And then you don't. It's just like, what? But you can still play the game.
Oh,
it's still playable and beatable.
That's that sounds a little bit like Rogue Legacy, you know, where you're not going to be able to beat the game with just like one or two characters. You have to go through. You have to be okay with dying, and picking it up with the next character. That was a mechanic that completely. It took a while for my brain to kind of like wrap itself around. So this sounds kind of like that.
But Zombie U, like it actually, it really is like a survival horror game. You know, like the survival horror genre. You know. In my mind, it's, you know, limited resource, limited supplies, limited time, very fallible characters, you know. But you know, it's just like if movies were classified like that way, you know, the original Alien is survival horror, and Aliens or the movies beyond that are basically what's happened to the Resident Evil series. It's still good, but it's more of an action movie, you know.
So what about Left 4 Dead, which is like, you know, an action movie in video game form?
Yeah.
We could probably go into an entire different podcast of just zombie games.
That's true.
Lord knows there's a lot of them now.
Yeah. Quick question. Has anybody here played Slender?
Yes.
Against all better judgment, yes.
Yes.
just wanted to throw that one out there because you're talking about like pure survival horror where you're not supposed to even attack the monster. You're just trying to run.
Ooh, Silent Hill Shattered Memories.
There you go. I was about to kind of segue into that.
Segue.
Words.
Got it.
I was going to ride a segue into the next segment.
I want a game like that. I want a survival horror game where you're just on a segue.
You're on a segue.
Oh, that would be great.
Escaping from the segue salesman.
And you only move slightly faster than the zombie shuffle. Nintendo, I'm throwing them out there for you. Jump on that. Grab a developer. Make this game.
What was that game they released
on? You can control it with the Wii Fit pad.
What are you saying, Sean?
Sorry.
That would be pretty good, actually.
I'd play that.
What was that game? We were in the shopping mall.
Oh,
Dead Rising.
Yeah.
Dead Rising, right. I just remember they made that Wii version with like
Chop Till You Drop. Oh.
Yeah, that's right. I did not play that.
It was a reskin of it used the Resident Evil 4 engine and reskinned it and, you know, tried to make it like it, but it wasn't using the M2 engine. It's M2 that was Dead Rising, right?
I don't know.
Go with yes.
Yeah, my head.
All right, Wikipedia, don't fail me now.
What was Capcom's engine that they used for everything in the Hyde, you know, Lost Odyssey and stuff like that? Whatever it was, that engine didn't use it because we couldn't run it.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard this story before.
I liked Dead Rising 2 out of the series.
MT framework, yeah, with MT, Havoc physics.
Sorry, MT, okay. Not M2. M2 was the follow-up to the 3DO. Which was going to get a follow-up to the game D. Ooh, how was that?
There you go.
How was that for a segue?
Brilliant.
That was riding off into the next game.
Right. maybe I segued a little too early. We didn't really talk about Dead Rising. We're like, hey, Dead Rising had a sequel. Okay. So.
I didn't really want to talk about Dead Rising, just that you know, the Wii port was half-hearted.
Yeah.
I didn't really hear too much great about that, so I kind of passed on it.
I played it at Tokyo Game Show. They had a really nice booth set up for it, but that's as good as positive feedback as I can get for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move to D then.
Go to
did
D.
People play D?
Nope.
I have watched you play D.
Yep.
In the TV lounge.
Yep. Did a lot of things that, I mean, it was definitely the most graphic horror game on the market when it came out. There's this story about Kenji, you know, the director of it, basically submitting one version to the company or whatever, but actually slipping a different version to the mastering facility because it dealt with a lot of I don't know if I want to give any spoilers, but I mean, well, you know, I mean, it was dealing with, you know, suicides, which wasn't a thing in game, you know, or whatever. And, you know, there were familial issues, and, you know, I mean, and there was beheadings and things like that. It was way, you know, it was beyond what games were doing at the time.
Yeah.
And it was successful. It was very successful when it came out. It was one of the top selling games on the 3DO. The ports were not as good. That's sad. That's sad when you have a port that's not as good as the 3DO version. But it was interesting because it was timed. You had 2 hours to beat the game. Mm-hmm. So you're going to lose and have to start over a few times, which was kind of frustrating. But and it led to D2. Has anyone played D2?
No.
Oh
no.
D2. It's
You say D2. I'm thinking Diablo 2. I'm sorry. That's what.
No, sorry. D2 is worth playing. It's interesting. It's a four disc game. So it had the most cut scenes of any game I'd played at the time. And you spend a lot of time. It's actually a survival horror because you have to spend time surviving. Like, you can run out of food in the game if you don't hunt to eat.
That's always scary at my house.
Sorry, took a second.
but I mean, that was another one that one actually did get censored for its Western release because there was some tentacles in that game.
See.
I mean, not there.
You're trying to get it to me, and you're not doing a very good job of it.
Never mind. Anyway.
What kind of tentacles?
Well, you know, the kind that wrap around a
female
protagonist. And
oh, great.
Horror game. Anyway, it's not that kind of game. And I'm like, I was going to say there's no nudity in the game. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's quite a bit of it, but not that part. Oh, never mind. It's play D2. Play D2.
Okay.
Tentacles notwithstanding, play D2.
Sure. Okay.
If you're playing the North American version, you don't have to deal with them anyway.
Well,
the things that about living in America.
Ruins the game for me now.
Well, it's two.
The North American version contains mild tentacles.
Those are the only kind I can handle.
Is that the disclaimer on the box? Contains mild tentacles?
Mild tentacles, yes. Whereas the Japanese version contains heavy tentacles. So.
Okay, got it.
Graphic tentacles.
Okay, so here's another pro segue here.
Okay.
Speaking of games with letters in them, yeah, nailed it. Has anyone here played PT on the PlayStation 4 by any chance?
Well, I watched friends playing it. Yeah,
I don't have a PS4 yet because Venk talked me out of it, which is subject for another show. But
you bastard!
I did watch the Game Grumps play it, which was good enough for me.
Okay.
In my defense, I think I only delayed his purchase. But
yeah. Just no. Delayed. It'll be after Halloween that I get this. Is what I'm trying to say.
I heard they were good reasons. Anyways, I ask because I have not had the privilege yet. I've watched the trailer. You know, I've screamed a couple times. but I would love to hear from someone who has witnessed a little more about the game.
Well, we'll start with the fact that when it first came out, nobody knew what the hell it was.
Yeah.
It was just this random playable demo that had shown up on the PlayStation, the PlayStation 4, you know, the shop.
Brilliant, by the way. Brilliant way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Showed up before, was this before E3?
This was,
it was either, maybe right after?
No, because remember Kojima came out and he said...
Oh, yeah. And he was wearing a PT t-shirt. He was wearing
T-shirt. Yeah, so it came out like a couple of days, I think, before it was E3. I think it
was right after the press conference for something. And then they just said, oh, by the way, this is available. Go check it out or something like that.
Yeah, so people went and it was just called PT, which nobody knew what the heck that was. So... people started playing it, and honestly, if you watch it and you're a Silent Hill fan, like a really big one, like I caught it right away. Yeah. You can see the loading when it's loading in the bottom right hand corner. You can see the three circles, which is the Hill of the Sun symbol from the Silent Hill games previous to this. Halo of the Sun symbol is like the save points in some of the games and prominent in the series. So you could kind of, that's kind of a spoiler for those who are really paying attention. But so it's this PT, which I guess it stands for playable trailer or playable teaser. And it's its own separate thing. It's not supposed to have any kind of bearing on the main game.
Yeah.
But so you're just this person going through this house, which is a closed loop. You just keep going through the same area over and over and over again. You're trapped in this loop, and creepy shit happens every single time. Like new stuff, like things get triggered. Like all of a sudden you'll be going through for like the third or fourth time, and all of a sudden there's this ghost woman in the hallway who suddenly disappears as soon as the lights go out. Other times, suddenly the bathroom door will creak open and you're looking in and, you know, crap happens. Creepy baby, if anybody has...
I know about creepy baby, yes.
Creepy baby. Yeah. So, and if you have to pay attention, if nobody has actually played it, but they want to, pay attention to what the radio's saying, because that kind of hints to what the heck's going on in a way.
It's too hard to pay attention to. Many creepy things are happening. Oh, God.
Yeah, pretty much. but me, I like paying attention to that kind of stuff. So, you know. And there's a very particular way you have to go through the game in order to complete it.
Yeah, I know the internet took, like, what, a week or two to figure out exactly what they were doing right to get through the whole thing, right?
Yeah, which was apparently...
That is very slow for the internet.
Well, Hideo Kojima came back and said, yeah, that was the point. He wanted people to, like, cooperate. He wanted people to cooperate and come up with these, like, strategies and try to figure out how do you beat this trailer. And after the first person who was able to beat this trailer found out at the end, you find out it's apparently this character is based off of Norman Reedus. He exits the house and then the screen goes black and suddenly you're hearing Akira Yamamoto's original Silent Hill theme playing.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Silent Hill's plural. It's like, okay, so this is a Silent Hill game. And of course it says the playable trailer holds no bearing on what the actual game will be about. But it's like, okay, you find out Hideo Kojima is with it. You find out Guillermo del Toro. And it's like,
That's exciting, guys.
You done did good. Because I am scared shitless now to turn off the lights. So
I won't be able to play it unless they release another version called Silent Hills, spelled with a Z, that has all chibi characters.
Pretty much. Which would be adorable and creepy in its own right. But so I was skeptical when I first heard about this. You know, when it first came out, like, okay, it's Kojima. Ugh. It's going to be Metal Silent Gear Solid type of deal.
Someone must have sent a memo within Capcom Eternally reminding them that they have more than one franchise.
Konami.
This isn't
Capcom.
Yeah, Konami.
Sorry. That's a running gag, but but anyway, they must have gone. Oh yeah, we've got other franchises. We should probably put Kojima on it because do we even have anyone else directing? Yeah. Hey, and then someone else runs in the room. Hey, we own Bomberman.
Oh,
I'm sad now.
But yeah, so everybody who I've talked to is basically now, having gone through and either watched the trailer or play it themselves, psyched. Because
there's a lot of excitement for this.
It does feel like it's going back to the psychological mind fuckery that was Silent Hill. You know, Silent Hill 2 was
my favorite, absolutely.
It was a masterpiece with just its mind screws. Pyramid Head is my spirit animal. That's the one.
Wow.
Sexy Pyramid Head or the other one?
The other one?
All the Pyramid Heads are sexy pyramid heads, Sean.
Yes.
All right, fine.
We'll go with that.
I worry this might be the first Silent Hill I might not be able to handle. I cautiously play through all the other Silent Hills maybe like 2 hours at a time or so I don't get too overwhelmed. But this one looks a little extreme for me. I'm not one for the jump scares, and Silent Hill's been really good about that so far. It's more like psychological terror, but this one might be a little too over the top for me.
You might need somebody or somebodies to be holding your hand as you play it or something.
Yeah, my fiance is totally down for playing this, and I might just have to like listen to it from the other room or something and hope I get something out of the experience that way.
Maybe you can just get updated text as it goes, just a live feed.
Oh, that would be delightful if you would be willing to do that.
Video games. So you know what? Okay, I think that's, we've hit on a lot of the good past ones, some upcoming ones. Do you think that any of you would be able to deal with a well-made horror game on something like the Oculus Rift?
Oh God! Oh, can you imagine PT on the Oculus Rift?
I can imagine pee on my floor.
Oh my God, that would be.
Frankly, I think just the whole immersion element, I would have been freaked out if they made a survival horror game for the Virtual Boy. You know, I mean, already
everywhere. It's all red.
My eyes.
Wow, I just realized the golf game on there was a horror game.
There you go. Wario Land. What? Everyone was just a bloody mess.
What happened here? Yeah. So, but I mean, even as it is, like, headphones are a bit too immersive for me when it comes to horror games.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When, especially good headphones, where something actually sounds like it's coming from a direction. So, like, I think if VR really does take off with the whole Morpheus and you know, Rift, you know, I might have to be done with horror games. I don't know if I can deal with that.
Yeah, I think that's where
the doctors.
Where
why
I would
did
drop
you develop this heart palpitation? What the hell?
Well, already, I mean, Zombie U, and even scarier than that is, have you seen the trailers for Fatal Frame 5?
We'll put that in the show notes.
Oh, I want to play that.
I never played Fatal Frame before. Is it just kind of like Pokemon Snap, but with ghosts and stuff?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. That's
exactly what it is, Sean. Enjoy.
You've summed it up.
I don't know all these ghost characters. How do I catch them all?
Well, you use a poke flute.
Yes, that's the first thing.
Right.
And some of them are slightly horrific, so you need to use the monster ball. You gather them and you fight other cameras. It's very good.
It's appropriate it's coming to the Wii U then.
I hope it has Amiibo.
I hope it's just the camera.
Why is this just a pedestal? Where is the ghost?
It's in your home.
Oh man,
I want
Fatal Frame to use Amiibos because I would like to put Luigi in it so I can finally get my console Luigi's Mansion sequel.
There you go, Luigi's Mansion. Scary game.
Anyway, moving on.
Speaking of clock Luigi
tower.
Amiibo.
Clock Tower. Come on.
Clock Tower. Oh, we should have brought that up during our 2D part, actually.
Mm. Well.
But no.
Addendum.
But did the 2D one even... That didn't even come out in the States, right?
No, it didn't. The original... No.
Yeah.
The original Clock Tower was in Japan, and then the Clock Tower 2 that came over here was renamed Clock Tower. So it was actually
It a remake or was it an actual sequel?
It was, I believe, an actual sequel.
Okay. But
if I remember correctly.
Scissor Man.
I'm sure somebody will correct me if wrong, but yeah, Scissor
Man. Scissor Man is one of the best villains in any survival horror game.
And just creepy kid, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they Nemesis, like just these things that you can't get away from, really, yeah. Kind of.
Pyramid Head.
Oh, Pyramid Head. Yep.
Nemesis, Mr. X.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah, Scissor Man. Just in fact, there was a friggin'.
Or the whale in Bubble Bobble.
Sorry. There was an enemy in one of the Castlevania games, I think Order of Ecclesia, that was like a tribute to the Scissor Man, a Scissor Woman type of deal, which was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
So it's definitely nice to see that kind of stuff.
Clock Tower was made by Human, right? The Clock Tower series.
No? Yeah, someone's looking.
Everybody Google it, quick.
I'm going to sit back and let everyone else Google it, if that's okay.
This is Human Entertainment. Sunsoft.
Sunsoft? Really?
Human Entertainment and continued by Sunsoft.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Oh. Yeah. Is Clock Tower's done, right? I mean, like, no one's working on a new one there, right?
Well, as far as we know, it's in limbo, yeah. It's had...
Limbo. That's a good... Oh, sorry.
It's had some like spin-offs, like Haunting Ground was originally supposed to be Clock Tower 4. Yeah. Forgot and then there's like name. Rule of Rose that came out that was kind of like...
Really? Rule of Rose had some connections to it?
It was like...
I didn't play it,
It wasn't... I mean, it was like spin-off, but yeah,
spiritual successor or something.
Yeah, like we'll go with that.
All right. Wow, this is a very extensive genre, I think. What do you think is the appeal of? I mean, I guess it's the same appeal as scary movies. I mean, but what's scarier in your opinion, movies or games?
Yes. Games.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go games.
Scary movies don't really do it for me anymore.
It's just the interactive element of it.
You have to force yourself to open these doors and go down these corridors, and like every fiber of your being is telling you no. But do it because you want to see the end.
One of the situations where I knew that I'd frozen in a game, like, I don't know if I'd call it the scariest part of a game, but it was the most tense part of a horror game that I was playing was, it was Silent Hill 2. You're beneath the Toluca prison in the labyrinth.
Yes.
And you've got the two pyramid heads that are just kind of going through the labyrinth somewhere, and you're just kind of going through, and, you know, you could round any corner at any time, and Pyramid Head could be immediately in front of you. Yeah, and then you could turn around and the other one could be immediately behind you. And that was one of the situations where I'm like, I don't want to go forward. I don't want to continue this game.
Just going down to the prison area, you know, that ridiculously long stairway?
Yep.
That was a chore for me. I was like, I don't want to. And I kept going and it was just horrific. And then like inside the prison is the absolute scariest place in that game for me. It's just like going through the cell blocks and hearing like the whispering and stuff like that's and the gallows area, like those were the most terrifying areas. And the, oh god, I wanted to get out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah, same here.
I had to take a break.
Whispering in games bothers me. In
general. Oh, God, I know.
Any game that features whispering, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because you're going through the cell blocks, and all of a sudden you turn around, and you think you see something, but you're hearing the whispering. Something, like, knocks over, and you know something's back there. It's like, nope, I'm going to continue on the path I'm going. Thank you very much. And then you can't open the door.
Okay, well, how about for everyone, scariest moment in a video game?
Oh, Lord.
Told you mine.
Okay, yeah.
Well, maybe that's the most tense, but I think, like, one of the parts where I remember specifically jumping, like, holy crap, first was when Nemesis first burst through the door, or burst through a wall, and just kept on coming after me. And the second was probably in Silent Hill 3, which I liked for what it was. And you're in the haunted mansion in the amusement park. And the overhead is telling you about all these specific attractions that you're going through. It's like supposed to be like the haunted mansion at like Disney World and whatnot, but it's creepy as all hell. And you get to this one part, and it's just a rocking chair, just rocking of it, moving of its own accord. Mm. And I'm just inching with my gun aimed at this thing, just inching forward, waiting for something to pop out at me from this rocking chair. And I'm inching, and nothing's happening. And I get just before the door to leave this area, and all of a sudden a body drops from the ceiling, hanging. Oh, that's Danny. You sons of bitches.
I guess I don't know about the scare. I mean, I've already mentioned the first one that still sticks with me, of the dogs through the windows in Resident Evil, but a game that really had a lot of tension for me was Enemy Zero on the Saturn, because it's like an alien-esque, like sci-fi horror movie. But now, listening to it now, it sounds almost like it was a gimmick to avoid making graphics. But the enemies are invisible, and the only way you can detect them is from these little pings from like sonar things, and you pretty much don't actually, find out where they are until they're on top of you. So you're going down these corridors, like, you're creeping by because you're just listening to these pings coming, and they'll start speeding up. It's really, really quite intense. It's a hard game to get into. The system's kind of weird, but it's worth trying, I think.
Speaking of horror sci-fi, has anybody ever played Dead Space?
Yes, I have.
Played the first one a little.
The first and second one are wonderful.
Yeah.
I should play this game. I played it once. It was someone else's copy, I think, or I played it at a convention. I forget which.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was at a friend's house. Never mind. Yep, I remember now. Yeah. Yes, I need to play this game.
The death scenes in that game are pretty intense.
They're gruesome. Yeah. They are friggin' gruesome. I didn't beat the first one. I played it. And I was like, okay, this is kind of Event Horizon-ish.
Yeah.
Alien/Event Horizon type of situation here. Okay, I can get it. But then I never played 2 or any of the others. If there were others, I can't even remember.
Oh, 2 is the best one. Please play it. It's wonderful.
Okay.
Is anybody hearing this? Like, there's all this wind blowing in my house.
Yes, I do hear that, actually.
It's really... Yes,
I hear a buzz. I don't hear the wind.
There is actually a typhoon going on.
Do we
suspense is building.
I know. And you keep talking about... Syndra's giving this long description and the wind's blowing here or whatever, and there's these lights flickering. It's kind of cool. Not in my house. My house is fine.
Oh, God.
This was perfect timing then.
So,
well,
suddenly it was all Wizard of Oz over at Vink's place. Yeah.
So, scariest moment in a game. Let's see. Oh, okay. So, I don't know if this is the scariest moment, but it's the one that popped in my head right now. I have this fear of giant things underwater in like 3D games. I think it started with Mario 64. That eel in Mario 64 terrifies the crap out of me.
Yeah.
That thing's really, really scary. It's very large, and it's kind of like murky, cloudy water at that point because you're really deep. And so there's this like giant, terrifying thing that like
that was so
snaps
cool.
at you. I still can't handle it to this day. Anyways, okay, so my scariest moment is going to come from one of the scariest games on the N64, Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, you heard me. Okay.
I was thinking this was going to be Resident Evil 4 coming up because I know.
Let's see. So Clanker's Cavern in Banjo-Kazooie, if anyone's ever played this game, you swim through this pipe sort of at the beginning of the level. How many people have played this game?
Oh, God, years
ago. It's been too long.
Okay, well, Clanker is this giant, like, metal shark thing, and it's absolutely huge, and, like, the whole level is structured around him, but you swim through this pipe before you get to see him, and then eventually, like, there he is right in front of you as soon as you emerge from this pipe, and he's gigantic, and he's just got this scary mouth going on, and he's just huge, and he's underwater, and he, like, floats towards you and opens his mouth and gets, like, really, really close up to the screen, and I couldn't handle it, and I actually shut the system off. And keep in mind, I was probably like 17 or 18 when I played this too. So yeah, that was the first like nope moment in any game I think that I've ever played. I just shut the system off. I'm like, nope, not doing this right now. And now it's fine. He's sort of cute, but back then I was having none of it.
Well, that's fair. Hey,
having none of it.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a scare in a horror game if it scared the crap out of you.
Yep.
True.
Sean, what about you?
I've been sitting here racking my brain, and I'm sure it's something from Eternal Darkness, because the way that game sets your expectations, like literally anything can happen, even if it's not a real consequence in the game itself. Like your character sort of, what, like spontaneously exploding or...
That'll do it.
But there was that... like. Was that dining room, I think? Was there a piano in there? Somewhere in that part of the mansion just freaked me out to no end. And I really couldn't tell you why. This is terrible. What a great story I'm telling.
It's all right. I'm scared of Banjo-Kazooie. Don't worry about it.
Remember that part in the game?
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. Left 4 Dead, the witch, the first time. Encounter the witch. And I was like, fine, I'm just going to shoot this thing in the head. You know, no big deal. Oh, my God. Yeah. That was a little frightening.
Some of the jump scares in Illbleed got me. Illbleed?
Oh, sure.
No?
The first level.
Yes, Illbleed, totally. And it did have kind of a really creepy atmosphere, that living doll one. That was pretty nuts.
The one with like the wood dolls, was that
I mean, it was really campy, but at the same time the story behind a lot of these things was really creepy.
Clearly I need to play this.
Illbleed is so fun. It's not a good game, but it's a really fun game.
Yeah, I think that's it. I enjoyed it a lot, but it would be hard to actually even to recommend it, but I mean,
it has a lot of issues, but it's worth it.
It's by the team that made Blue Stinger. If you played that,
no,
that was a Dreamcast launch title that also had a lot of issues, but was pretty fun. But yeah, I would recommend it. A very late Dreamcast game, so pretty expensive these days, though. Unfortunately,
yeah, I'm ashamed to say I do not have that in my collection. I wish I did.
I've got that. I want to get the Japanese version, but actually that one's even rarer. It's hard
really?
To get. Yeah, I've only seen a copy once.
Huh.
You can get it online, but you know, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Let me see.
So yeah. Wow. Lots of good titles there.
We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
We did, but we only touched on it, so I think anybody listening to this podcast, if you've got, if you find one that we've missed, and there's lots. I mean, we didn't even go oh, through our list, but please comment, write in, tell us what your favorite one was, and your scariest moment in a game, and share it with, and I don't know, or if you want to hear more about any of these games, we'd be happy to talk more about them later on. So, sure. And maybe we can get the band together again and, you know.
Do a part two?
Or an all Castlevania podcast?
Oh, God, I'd just be going on and on and on. Don't do that. Don't do that to anybody. Symphony
Nobody of the Night's on my pile of shame, and I really need to play it.
Oh my gosh, really?
I only just bought a copy like recently.
Oh my god. Oh, I've probably played through that game like 20 times.
Only?
sorry.
Not enough times.
Killing me, guys. God, yeah, I could, I mean, Symphony of the Night, just, geez, throwbacks.
Oh, it makes me so
happy. I could talk about every single level in detail. Don't.
Yeah. I'm really, like, on my current playthrough, I'm really appreciating the backgrounds. I've just been paying a lot of attention to all the little background detail. It's just incredible.
It was that, I mean, say what you will about, you know, the jump from the platforming side-scroller to the Metroidvania-style gameplay.
Oh, I will.
I like it.
Like it or hate it. Like it or hate
it. I like it.
I mean, they still, Symphony of the Night was a love letter to, like, a good portion of the rest of the series, because mm-hmm. you have throwbacks to Rondo of Blood. You have throwbacks to Dracula's Curse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just this huge friggin' game. And, love it or hate it, it's a good game that everybody should play at least once, if not for the gameplay itself. Because the game itself gets pretty easy, pretty quick, but...
Grind quickly. Yeah.
Senselessly, but love it for the backgrounds and the music. Oh my mm-hmm. god.
Still god. One of my favorite soundtracks. Yep.
Oh my gosh, guys, we lost Vink. It finally happened.
The killer got him.
Oh no.
Who's next?
All right. Hold on, wait.
Well, that was spooky.
I think he's back.
He's back.
Oh god. I just realized we lost you.
Oh, I was gone for a few minutes.
Oh God, I thought you were just being quiet because they were going on about Castlevania.
That happens a lot.
See, that's what will happen if we do an entire podcast towards Castlevania. That will just be me. Don't do that to everybody.
What happens? Where'd you go? What?
I don't know. It just
he went to an alternate reality. He went to alternate Silent Hill.
Might be the storm. I don't know.
Or that.
Yikes. Or ghosts.
We'll say ghosts.
Spooky. Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, goodness. All right. That's probably all for this week then, right? Probably.
I mean.
Now that we know Vink's back.
We could. You didn't even know I was gone. didn't even miss me. Okay.
I didn't hear anyone chiming in about obscure video games from 20 years ago, so
oh,
I was worried.
Thought we touched upon most of those.
20 is long enough ago.
Let's talk about Monster Party some more.
Nobody played it.
I played it. I played the junk out of that game. it was a weird thing. A demon like comes to your house. And like recruits you, or I think you're actually walking to a baseball game, and demon takes you to Monster World or whatever, where you have to like fight these creatures with baseball bats, and on one part you like turn into it, like you get possessed and turn into a demon yourself, and everything goes like ultra creepy. It was just a really weird game, and it had a lot of like copyright infringement in it. Like they had in the original mm-hmm. Japanese version, they had basically the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, and it even said "Hello, baby" when you come to it. But they did weird like sprite work to when they were making the North American version, and they changed it to like it's still a carnivorous plant, but now it's a pitcher plant.
Oh.
You know, and it and
the
it
story
fires...
of that game is so weird.
Actually, it's
just
so,
the production.
It's worth looking up because the Japanese version actually wound up never coming out, except they found prototypes of it to show what it originally was. It's just it's a bizarre game, and it's I remember enjoying it. I never owned it, but I rented it a few times, and I really really enjoyed the atmosphere. It was really cool. There was really nothing else like it.
Before we wrap up, Sean, didn't you want to touch on Alan Wake?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting one because the entire time, well, not the entire time, but after you get started, you're kind of questioning what you're experiencing, if it's even real or not, and because you end up finding these pages that like are describing things that have just happened, are happening now, or are about to happen, and then in the fullness of the game, do end up happening. So, and then by the end, it gets way too meta, basically. But I spent a lot of time running at first, and then there are parts where you can't run and you got to fight, and so and so you do have guns and stuff, and but it's over the shoulder shooter as opposed to first person, right? So,
yes,
just creepy shadowy things you can't focus on, and you got to kind of outsmart it. You have these batteries.
You have to shine the light on them to make them vulnerable first.
So if you run out of batteries, then you know you're hosed. And despite this, I would still go off track to find these pages to collect them all, basically. So they got me. It's like, well, I could just get to the end of the level, or I could go into the shadowy forest over here.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yep.
Good.
Always go alone. Yes. Gosh,
I still need to play American Nightmare. I downloaded it when it was like cheapest free at one point, and just never played it yet.
Yeah, I haven't played the DLC.
Anyone play Kodelka?
No, I own that
SNK RPG. Yeah,
I own that, but I have not played it.
Gameplay is not super great. The story is a little weird, but the creepiest part of the game is you is much like Alan Wake is picking up these old diary entries and finding out about what happened on that site before or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that my favorite part of the game was basically just reading text on the screen, you know, but it really,
if it immersed you,
it was good. Yeah, I really. The game itself got panned, it just destroyed by critics, but I really enjoyed it just because of the lore, because of what was going on more, and I suffered through the gameplay to get to more of that. I don't know, it's that kind of a situation, but I mean it was good enough that I beat it, and that's saying something for me. But and then it led to the much better Shadow Hearts series.
I was going to say, isn't that like sort of a precursor to Shadow Hearts?
Yeah, there's a lot of connections.
Okay.
There's a few characters through the series, and the Kodelka's referenced in Shadow Hearts a few times.
Hmm.
Nice.
You actually meet. Well, maybe. Am I really spoiling it? No one's going to play Kodelka. So, I don't know if I'm spoiling it.
I might, but go ahead.
But, I mean, you actually meet Kodelka in the first Shadow Hearts game. As this is many years later, and she's an older woman. But Shadow Hearts is a great series.
Oh,
great.
I love that series. Absolutely.
That I really, two was good. I enjoyed three. I kind of wish they would have kept going with what they were doing with two. But I mean, three was a different direction. Mm-hmm. But there's a series I'd kickstart.
Does Majora's Mask count as a scary game?
That's pretty creepy, and the moon absolutely terrifies
me. Only if you consider the moon.
I haven't been able
to finish the game just because of that moon. I can't handle it.
There are some things that like you got to think about later that are kind of weird, like the Deku mask that you get. You know, it's like you're wearing the faces of dead people.
Yeah.
For one thing. So that's kind of creepy. But yeah, like the mood that changes when like mm-hmm. the moon's about to crash, and like the kind of nihilism that starts to kind of wash over you. It's like, well, I've tried to help all these people, but I gotta go back in time now. And is it even gonna stick? Doesn't matter. I can't help them all every time I do this.
That's how it's I just... feel at the end of every day in Pikmin 3. Some of you there's are that, dying now.
There's that creepy Link like clone thing in Majora's Mask too.
Yeah.
The thing just... with the weird face.
Skull Kid?
No, there's like a Link clone doll or something.
I've never played Majora's Mask.
Yeah,
so that's why.
But anyways, yeah, it's really, really creepy. It's an eerie game. I mean,
if we are just going by scary things in games that are otherwise not scary.
We are now.
I find that objects that are just sitting there that will chase you around the room when certain conditions are met to be very creepy. Like in Mario 2, those masks.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that was one of the earliest forms of tension in a game, I guess, for me.
In Bubble Bobble, the whale that comes if you don't hurry up fast enough, and the sun in Super Mario 3.
Yeah.
These are scary things to me. I remember being creeped out by
those. Yeah. Yes. No, I agree with that.
I had to bring it back to the 80s for a little while. That's my role in the show.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
And I, in turn, appreciate you.
Aw.
There's a lot of appreciation.
Let's have a Skype hug. Okay, we're done.
Who's touching me?
It's empty.
Why are there...
Sean's in between you two on my...
Why are there more than six hands here?
Sean, you're always coming between us.
Oh.
Do that. That's cock blocker.
What's happening right now?
Anyway,
feelings are happening right now, Sean. Perhaps you've heard of them.
I might have.
Apparently, they're not feelings of fear and tension.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's being scared of feeling because I
brought us all together at the end.
I suppose.
Indeed.
And then we all died.
What?
What?
That's how. Oh, you mean inevitable march towards death? Okay,
right. I get it. Because we were discussing the nihilism before.
Yeah. Right.
Of course.
Oh, good grief! Moon's okay,
come crashing down on us any second now.
I think this is probably good then, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll call it that.
Let's end on that downer.
Join us next week for nihilism in games. Not that it matters.
Everyone dies. Everyone.
Wow. All right.
Those space invaders. In the end, they're gonna get you.
Oh.
So yeah, to comment and let us know what your favorite horror scary games are, horror movement moments, what games you are hoping will be scary, like stuff coming up, you know, Evil Within. I'm not quite sure if that's going to be up to snuff, but who knows.
We got to play a whole 5 minutes of it. It was it created a good atmosphere, but we didn't even get to shoot anything because they shoot us off after 5 minutes. So
is that one going to be up by Halloween? Is that going to make it?
I don't know the release date on that one. Actually,
I gotta look. Evil Within. I thought it was out already.
It is not.
Oh.
If it is, I don't think it's too well.
Okay.
It's the 14th. So
by the time this gets out,
it'll
be out.
Yeah. So I hope you're all enjoying The Evil Within.
Let us know if you're not.
And let us know. And we've been having more guests on the show lately, and I've been really, really enjoying that. So
me too. Thanks.
I'm hoping, especially when there's topics so near and dear to people's hearts, I'm happy to bring in guest experts. So
don't get me started on Castlevania.
Get her started on Castlevania. You can get me started on Castlevania too. I have a lot to say.
It'll be a whole nother 3-hour podcast. Nobody wants to hear that. Let us know in the comments.
My mother would love to hear that. Just to hear my voice. I'm far away from her right now. She would listen to that.
So yeah, thanks Cinder and David for joining us, and I guess
absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
As always. Come back again.
So I'll try. Until next week, the dojo is
spooky.
Jump scare.
Yeah. There it is.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at famicomdojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode, sign up for a free Audible trial, or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.